Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We're having a wonderful time in the new studio built for us by MTP Software, our friends over there. And I'm here with Peter Morrison from the law firm of Cohn, Resnick, Morrison & Plout. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Jeff. Great to be here.
Thank you very much. Thank
Love
you.
Love your new space.
Thank you. I'm glad they were able to bring my conference table, which I had built about 20 years ago. I was worried. It's the only thing I asked them to bring. Take my conference table. Don't throw it out. And our next guest, I actually am starting to think that our next guest has been on this show more than any other guest, and you've never met him before. And that's Larry Steibel from Steibel Peabody Associates. And for this interview, we're going to talk about interviews, right?
Hi, Jeffrey. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Larry.
Hey, Larry. I had an email from you this morning. I think I might have had one from you yesterday.
And you will tomorrow.
Yes. Always informative.
Thank you.
Very new. What's going on at Steibel Peabody?
We are now in our 36th year. It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
And the theme is leadership and career success. So we do three things: retain search for board members, CEOs, COOs, and CFOs. Anybody that touches the board. Leadership development. And we have a product for entrepreneurs who know how to manage founder-dominated boards, but may need some help in managing private equity-dominated boards, because it ain't the same thing.
Not.
And then finally, career management. And one of the areas where we get involved with entrepreneurs is that the people who listen to your show are forward-looking people. They always need to have a dream. The problem with these transactions is, what am I going to do after the transaction? Oh, I'll get a ton of money, we'll go around the world, I'll play golf every day, and then they don't know.
Right.
And then, so what happens is, and I'm sure Peter's been in this situation, usually 6 weeks before the deal is supposed to be consummated, the entrepreneur comes up with some objection that kills the whole thing. And the objection was never the real issue. The issue was he had no idea what he was going to do after the transaction. I just read this book about words. And in the United States, the word work is translated as who you are. You know, you go to a party and you say, hi, Jeffrey, what do you do?
What do you do? Yeah.
Well, you're gonna give your job title.
And I'll bore them right away.
But in France, that's not the case.
What are you drinking? What kind of wine are you drinking?
Or what's your philosophy? What's your politics? Not your work.
No.
But it is in the United States. So if you
especially the Northeast.
If you are who you do and then you have a transaction and you're no longer president, then
who are you? Who are you? You lost your identity.
Yeah. So it's an existential issue.
You're liking this interview too. I can see it in your eyes.
Well, it's an interesting way to think. I mean, and clearly I've been on, you know, I mean, I represent entrepreneurs and I represent them in their exits and, you know, you try to figure it out. And I've certainly been in the situation where you have a very reluctant seller of a business from time to time because they haven't figured out where their landing pad is.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm seeing this now. You're a lawyer, Peter, and we're not working
sometimes.
With...
And Larry's a and Larry's a psychologist, so we can work it out for you, Peter.
God help.
Well, I come from a long line.
A psychiatrist.
No, psychologist.
No, he comes from a long line of psychiatrists.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's the only one.
I managed to escape.
Good for you. But the same dynamics occur with lawyers who are 65 and are having to retire from their law firms. If I'm not a partner at a big law firm, then who am I? If I'm not a partner at a big four CPA firm, then who am I?
So Peter's fighting back the tears.
Yeah.
You've released something here.
Well, no. I mean, this is a common conversation among, you know, my contemporaries.
And your wife.
and my wife and everybody else I know who's, you know, of that age. It's, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's, you know, and, you know, sometimes you figure out, you know, you want to, you know, make pottery or, you know, write books. Or
bag boy at Publix.
That was what you always dreamed of.
It was, actually. That was my ambition.
It's a return back to the adolescent issues where you say, who am I? What do I want to do? And then what happens
I've been saying that all my life, though, Larry. Come on.
You go to college, you pick a major, you get on a track, and you say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do. And then all of a sudden, something happens, and you're back to where you were at adolescence. It's, okay.
You didn't have an uncle like me. I mean, I had an uncle I went to live with. I took a year off from college.
Yeah.
And as I left the year, he said to me, what are you going to do? And I said, no, I'm not quite sure. He said, you better find out now.
Really?
And those words resonated, you know. You need somebody to drive the process.
So, Larry, are you dealing with a lot of people who are like that, who are just...
Absolutely. Again, that sort of existential issue about who am I, what do I want to be, what do I want to do, that resonates with the boomers who are sort of involuntarily retiring from large corporations and then facing the reality of an extended lifespan. It resonates with entrepreneurs we're dealing with who are looking at transactions after the deal is done, then what? And then family businesses, oh my God.
I was just going to say to you, I've had clients in their 90s who are not at all prepared to let go and don't let go, and they've had children in their 60s, and they can't let go to them.
And that's
and I've had people in their 60s, 50s, 40s, and they cannot transition, even though the business needs some form of transition, even strategically.
Well, you're
they hold on.
Well, you guys are describing a condition. What do you do for them? I mean, how do you fit into this process?
Well, there's an old song by Rodgers and Hammerstein.
You're going to sing it?
No, I'm going to keep your ratings up. I'm not going to sing it. I'll just say it. It's Darn. Bloody Mary in South Pacific, and she says, you got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, right, how are you going to make a dream come true? So if you're the CEO of a family business and your personal life and your work life all revolve around the business, and then suddenly they say to you, hey, you should retire, enjoy yourself, go to Florida,
play that doesn't golf, work.
And let your child take over. That is only going to work if the person says, I'm going to do it because here's the plan. Here's what I'm going to do. And this is going to be my new mission. Failing that...
I agree with you because when I... In my work, which I had a great mentor in my work, a world-famous family therapist, I always try to get people to get back in touch with what their dreams are.
Yeah.
Because if I can get them back in touch with their dreams and maybe show that at this point of their life, their dreams are not consistent with what they're doing today but can be consistent with what they want to do tomorrow, then I can help them build that path.
You know, to me, the great model for your listeners is the founder of Microsoft,
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
Right.
So he said, okay, you know, I've done it with software, I've done it with high tech, and now I'm just going to transition to this nonprofit
philanthropy with his wife.
But he's put the same passion, the same right. intensity, the same commitment that he did in technology. He simply transferred it to something else, but he's the same guy. He hasn't
right.
changed.
Right.
So, but you're right. It's about having the dream.
And some people think it's about having the money to do it, and it's not always the case. Money becomes a block because they use it as an excuse to not make change.
It's absolutely.
So my dad. Do you help people with these changes?
So
that's what Stiebel.
My dad used to always say to me. He'd stand with me when he was older, and he'd be on a golf course, and he'd always say, don't let money stop you from changing your life and moving on to the next stage. What you perceive your needs are at one level of your life are not your needs at a different level of your life.
Right. And the problem with success, and you, Jeffrey, deal with a lot of people who've been successful at what they do, is it's hard to unlearn success.
Right.
It's easy to learn.
Well, it's addictive.
And so... You know, when I was young, I used to think, boy, learning is really tough. Now, at this stage of my life, I realize learning is easy if you love what you're doing. What's hard is to unlearn the things that have worked for you.
Well, even more than that, I was talking to Chris, producer, yesterday about what it means to be really successful. These people have tasted the drug of success, of winning.
Yeah.
And it's hard to give up the drug of success and winning. Tom Brady, you know, right. type of thing. And when you've tasted the champagne in the cup, you want it again and again and again. Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard to transition.
And you know the image that I have for what's going on with your listeners is a scene in Walt Disney's Alice in Wonderland, which is a scene in the book Alice in Wonderland. And Alice in Wonderland's fallen into Wonderland, and she's gone from like 12 foot tall to 6 foot tall, and now she's like 6 inches tall. And she's she's walking in the woods, and she sees a caterpillar,
right? Yeah.
And the caterpillar is her height, and is saying, "Who are you?" And Alice is politely trying to say, "I don't know. I've just fallen into Wonderland. I'm not quite sure who I am." And the caterpillar is then saying, "Who are you?" And gets very demanding about it. And you realize Alice doesn't know who she is, and she's confused. But she's being badgered by a caterpillar. And the caterpillar itself is going to change. And I think that's what's going on with a lot of people in business these days. The business is demanding to know, who are you? What's your specialty? What's your function? But the business entity that's demanding that itself will change.
You know, I also say, whatever happened to all those great music writers and authors who wrote books while they were on drugs and tripping? Larry,
I think they're still there.
Yeah, less than they used to be. But Larry, you're always unbelievable to bring in. You bring in great topics. They're important. They're important topics to entrepreneurs. People can find you online all the time. They can tell people how to find you and your various ways of connecting.
One way is to look at our Psychology Today articles. Every month we publish things on leaderships and careers. And just Google Stibel, my name, Stybel, and Psychology Today. Another thing is we have a book out, and it's called Navigating the Waterfall. It's about career management in the 21st century. Just go to Amazon.com.
Bring it on next time.
I will.
Okay.
And then our website is StybelPeabody.com, Stybel.
Good. Larry, I can't wait till you're back again.
Thank you so much.
And I know this was your first experience with Peter Myers, and I could see Peter enjoyed himself as well.
I have, actually. He's very interesting.
He's great.
Thank you, Peter. And thank you, Jeffrey.
Peter has talked to many fictional characters in his life. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We're going to take a break.
I prefer that sometimes.
This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We'll be right back after these messages.